2 Corinthians 9:8. He is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. 2 Corinthians 9:8. Colossians 2:5. Though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Colossians 2:5. Though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Colossians 2:5. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. You said that. You didn't even see it, did you? 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. Psalm 104. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. Psalm 104. Would you open your Bibles, please, to Philippians 2:5. Philippians 2:5. On the back of your, or in your bulletin, you have an insert. And in that insert, you have scriptures, Ephesians 1:21, Philippians 2:5, and Philippians 2:6. If you will, please take that passage out of your bulletin there, and we'll look at it in a few moments after we have our prayer time. May we pray together, please. Father, we realize again how wonderful it is to be here, to open our hearts, our minds to your word. We pray that we will be anxious to receive spiritual fuel for our souls today. And we thank you for the fact that you provided what we need. In Jesus' name, amen. Philippians 2:5 on the screen, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians 2:5, a wonderful passage of Scripture. We now see it from the Greek and from the English. This is the way it is. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Please notice, if you will, please, where it says, let this mind be in you. The verb here is the present active imperative verb, second person plural, of phroneo, P-H-R-O-N-E-O. And so the emphasis here is upon each believer, you and me, having the thinking of our Savior Jesus Christ. That's the reason why the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We're emphasizing the fact that we must be aware before we see the need to oppose. We must be aware before we see the need to oppose. We emphasized that in the first session. We're emphasizing it now in how can we properly oppose satanic thinking. We must learn how to oppose our enemy. And that's the emphasis in our scripture here today. We've looked at the subject of evil. And I want you to see again the words that I gave you in the first session. Evil is a system of thinking that opposes divine truth, both in belief and behavior. I've said this so many times, and you'll hear me say it as we continue in the message today, that you and I have the responsibility to confess our sins, but we do not confess evil. And we've said that, you've heard it many times. It takes a while to be able to comprehend what that means, but we're going to try to see that again today. We can confess our sins. We cannot confess evil. Evil is a system of thinking. And so Jesus Christ didn't die for evil. He died for sin. Now, you'll have to think about that. We've said it many times over the years. And those of you who've listened attentively over the years understand the difference between sin and evil. Evil is a system of thinking that you see on the screen here that opposes divine behavior. And we have three words that we've discussed in the first session. We'll look at those again in a few moments. But please notice now your insert today on the scriptures, Ephesians 1:21. We have an emphasis, first of all, in Ephesians 1:21 of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we all know that he's far above all super demons and commissioned demons and gifted demons and ruling demons and all rank and file demons that is named not only in the church age, but in the dispensation about to come. We've already analyzed this verse. We exegeted the verse. We're not going to do that now, but I wanted you to be sure that you had Ephesians 1:21. And then our two verses now. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You can follow those words there. And then verse 6 says, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And then you'll read, of course, verse 7, which is also a powerful verse. On the screen now, you see the three words that we've emphasized in the first session. Evil is a system of thinking that opposes divine truth, both in the area of belief and behavior. First word is the word kakos, K-A-K-O-S. You see it in the English transliterated, and you see it in the Greek, K-A-K-O-S. And it means opposed to goodness of character. The second word that you see on the screen is poneros, the word which we get pornography from. Poneros is the word evil, P-O-N-E-R-O-S, and that means opposed to divine viewpoint. The next word that you see on the screen is the word phalos, P-H-A-U-L-O-S, and that is the word which means to be in opposition to divine good. The question that I have in the brief moments we have today is how do we oppose the enemy? Whether you are aware of it or not, you and I, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, are continually, second by second, minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, we're responsible for opposing this enemy. And so on the screen, now you're going to see a system to oppose Satan. A system to oppose God from Satan's standpoint. A system to oppose Satan from our standpoint. The Philippians 2:5 passage is how to oppose the enemy. The Ephesians 1:21 passage is to be aware before we oppose. Awareness comes before opposition. Let me say it again. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he did not die for evil. He died for sin. You have to think through that. You have to hear it over and over again. Eventually, it becomes real to you, and you'll be able to see what we're trying to emphasize. A system to oppose God is Satan's system. We understand that God has, for the believer, a system of learning. That's the reason why we take verse by verse. That's the reason why we take subject by subject. Whatever we find in a particular verse, whatever subject that that verse contains, then we will magnify the emphasis of that particular biblical subject. So the wonderful thing about teaching the Word of God verse by verse, chapter by chapter, is that you are able in time to deal with a lot of different subjects. And so that's the reason why now we're dealing with the subject of satanic thinking, Satan's thinking, how we're to oppose that thinking. That's why we're finding it in Ephesians 1:21 and Philippians 2:5. Also, you remember that we gave this morning, and we repeat now, Ephesians 6:12, which says, our conflict, the conflict that you and I now find ourselves in on a daily basis, is not against blood and flesh, but it's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world rulers of darkness, against spiritual hosts of evil in the heavenlies. And I gave this morning. I gave it last Wednesday night. It's not because I'm senile that I'm doing this. I do want you to know that I do know what I'm doing here, and that is that I want you to see this little Greek word pros, which means face to face. Our conflict is not against flesh and blood, but face to face against rulers, face to face against authorities, face to face against the world rulers of darkness, face to face against spiritual hosts of evil in the heavenlies. And if you're following along in the Greek text, you're able to see that the various Greek words that I've given you over a period of the last few sessions are right here. There's the word ruler. There's the word authority. You remember seeing this. We gave it to you over and over again. And then pros against world rulers of darkness. Pros again against spiritual hosts. And there's the evil Poneros, which I gave you in the first session today. I just want you to see the reason why we're presenting all of this. Now, please, in the moments we have today, which are brief moments, I want you, if you will, to take an outline. We're going to deal with how we are to have a system to oppose satanic systems, because we are of the opinion that Satan is in a system of opposing God. So, in Philippians 2:5, it teaches us how to oppose the enemy. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. When you go to Ephesians 1:21, which I've called to your attention, is an awareness comes before the opposition. We have to be aware of the problem before we can know what to do in relationship to dealing with that problem. Now, evil is a system, and it comes in many different forms. I'm going to deal with this quickly, but I want you to write down at least one word for each one of these. The first word that we use here is evil is a system that comes in many forms, and one of those forms is legalism. What does legalism mean? Legalism means anything that mankind, men, women, boys, and girls, can do. It's human efforts, human flesh efforts. It's human good, human activity. Many people are trying to use human activity in relationship to salvation. In other words, they're seeking to add something human to God's plan of salvation. Sometimes they're adding church membership. Sometimes they're adding baptism. Sometimes they're adding keeping the Ten Commandments. Sometimes they're adding all different kinds of things. So I want you to see that legalism is a system of Satan. And system, which means anything that mankind, men, women, boys, and girls can do in relationship to salvation or in relationship to the Christian life. Some people are of the opinion that you're saved by grace, but your Christian life is that which keeps you saved and properly related to God. You see, that's legalism. That's putting the Christian life over into dependence upon the efforts of mankind, what you and I can do in the energies of the flesh. And we're seeing that that is a satanic system called legalism. The next one you see on the screen is socialism. What I try to do is to do this rapidly by giving you some words. Welfareism, radicalism, progressivism, social democracy, communism, leftism. I just tried to give you some words very quickly to let you see what I'm trying to show you in relationship to satanic system of socialism. All right, number three. Solving human problems with human solutions. Now that is a satanic way of thinking. Solving human problems with human solutions. You have to realize, and I have to realize, that we cannot solve human problems with human solutions. Number four, religion. Oh, you didn't know I was going to say this, did you? Another system of Satan. Religion. Evil perverts. Evil misrepresents. Evil religion twists and distorts and abuses and misuses God's thoughts and God's plan for us. I want you to see how dangerous religion is. Someone said religion is the devil's ace trump. I don't know what all that means, but I think it sounds pretty good. I want you to see that religion perverts. Religion misrepresents. Religion twists. Religion distorts. Religion abuses. Religion misuses God's thoughts and misuses God's plan for mankind. Notice, if you will, please, since truth came before the false, then one objective of evil is to pervert truth. Please put that down and think about it. Truth came before false. Then one objective of evil is to pervert truth. You can add something to truth, and that is false, and it's going to be false. Now, please notice what I'm saying. When you add truth to false, it's false. When you add false to truth, it's false. When you add false to false, it's false. When you add truth to truth, it's truth. You've got to see that. Notice, if you will, and let me back up again. You can add something to truth that is false, and it will automatically be false. God's plan is distorted when you and I, when mankind adds his thoughts, his ideas, his concepts, his plans. In fact, anything human added to divine pollutes and degrades the divine. What's always amazing to me is that through these years and all the almost 70 years of preaching, I've had people come to me with their own portfolio. And they want to tell me from their portfolio what the truth is. It's always amazing to me when I see this time and time and time again. I'm not interested in what a person's portfolio is. I'm not even interested in what my portfolio might be. I'm interested in what does God's Word say. And if God's Word says it, it's true. If we don't find it there, well, then don't look for it. Look for it where you can find it, and that is in God's Word. Now, notice please, sin is handled by confession. Sin is handled by confession. 1 John 1:9, we've memorized it many years ago. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, all of us know that. But when I turn the page, you're going to see something that's different. Sin is handled by confession. Evil is not handled by confession. You cannot get on your knees and ask God to forgive you of evil. Evil is a system of thinking. And if you're going to get rid of a system of thinking, you've got to get a new, different type of system of thinking. Please understand that. Sin is handled by confession. Evil is not handled that way. If you have the wrong thinking, you don't confess it, you get a different style of thinking. All right? So, sin is handled by confession. Evil is handled by concentration. And that's the reason why we have given you today Philippians 2:5. Let this mind, phroneo, thinking, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If you and I are going to do what's right, we're going to have to think God's thoughts. We're going to have to think as our Lord thinks, rather than thinking as satanic thoughts are prevalent in our thinking. Okay, Charles Dickens said this, and I thought it was neat. He said, I never could have done what I have done without the habits of punctuality, order, and diligence, without the determination to concentrate myself on one subject at a time. Charles Dickens made that statement. Let's look at it. I never could have done what I've done without the habits of punctuality, order, and diligence. Without the determination to concentrate myself on one subject at a time. What does it mean to concentrate? I trust that that's what you're doing right now. I hope your mind is not on vacation. I hope you're not in Honolulu right now. I hope you're not going fishing right now. What does it mean to concentrate? Concentrate means to ignore the irrelevant, to focus on the relevant. What does it mean to concentrate? It means to ignore those things that are not relevant, irrelevant, to focus on the relevant, not on the irrelevant. To be totally absorbed, undivided attention, regardless and regard fullness, heedfulness in our concentration. We get away from Satan's thinking when we become possessed with divine thinking. I put that in capital letters because I want you to see how unique. We get away from satanic thinking when we become possessed with divine thinking. Now that brings us to some points. Number one, when a believer is perceptive to the divine plan of God as a spiritual life and advances by means of spiritual food residing in the soul, that person will become and be the spiritual salt to preserve home, family, and nation. I don't even know whether I should do this. I don't want to take too much time to do it, but I want you to know that growing up on the farm in the wintertime, we butchered hogs. And we laid aside meat in crocks that were salted down. Are you familiar with that, any of you? In other words, the salt was designed to preserve the meat. What happens is that when you and I think God's thoughts, get away from satanic thinking, we become that which preserves our nation, our family, our church, our environment, our neighborhood. Do you see what I'm trying to say? Let me do it again. Please notice what we have here. When a believer is perceptive to the divine plan, and as the spiritual life advances, as that person advances on a day-by-day basis, they will become the spiritual salt to preserve home and family and nation. Number two, when a believer is non-perceptive to truth, in other words, they do not care to hear and properly respond to truth, then that person will be changed by the genius of Satan and eliminate the only protection of that person's soul. The only protection that you and I have, spiritually speaking, is God's word, truth, being cleansed of sin, filled with the Spirit, saturated with truth. When a believer is non-perceptive to truth, that is, they're not willing to hear and respond, then that person will be changed by the genius of Satan and eliminate the only protection of their soul. In other words, we call it distraction from God's word and entanglement with evil, which results in spiritual disaster. Wow, I'm going fast. I'm trying to let you see. Number three. When you go to the Old Testament, you'll find an interesting story about the problem Solomon presents related to the subject of syphilis. Now that'll get your attention, won't it? The problem Solomon presents related to syphilis. All you need to do now, please don't look it up, but I want you to know that it's told in Proverbs 5, verses 12 and 13. And we hear the cry of a young man whose body is possessed. Oh, if only I had listened. If only I had demanded my own way. Oh, why wouldn't I take advice? Why was I so stupid? I'm reading scripture for you, folks. Verse 14 says, "For now I must face disgrace." Another translation of verse 14 is, "I was immediately in all evil, even in the midst of the congregation and assembly." I was there in the church family, so to speak. I came very close to being totally and completely ruined. I want you to realize that sin and disobedience to God and God's plan has its consequences. All you have to do is listen to what I've read for you from this passage in Proverbs. A man who chose to go the wrong direction. Proverbs 3:7 says, "Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Be occupied with the Lord Jesus Christ and depart from evil." What does that say? It says, detest evil and leave it. Get away from satanic thinking. The only way to get away from satanic thinking is to have a different type of thinking, which is God's thinking. And that's to be saturated with the Word of God. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear doesn't mean to be afraid. It means to be occupied with the Lord Jesus Christ and depart, detest evil. Number 5, we live in such a fantastic time. We're living in the age of grace. We have a choice. On the one hand, we have God's truth. On the other hand, we have evil. What you are doing by being in this auditorium at this time, you have chosen to listen to the truth from God's Word. But when you go to Proverbs 11, 18 and 19, it says, "The evil man gets rich for the moment, but the one sowing righteousness has a reward that lasts forever." Do you see that? Then verse 19 says of Proverbs 11, "A perceptive life leads to an abundant life. But a pursuer of evil is pursuing the sin unto death." Have you studied with me the sin unto death? Surely you have. In 40 some odd years, we've looked at it several times. The sin unto death. You and I have to understand that when we sin against God, there will be chastisement. It falls into various categories. There's first simple discipline. There then comes more intense discipline. And if a person doesn't pay attention to that, the scripture says that that person will die horribly, the sin unto death. I'm not taking the time to go through those three now. I'm just letting you see that the evil man gets rich for the moment, but the one sowing righteousness has a reward that lasts forever. A perceptive life leads to an abundant life, but a pursuer of evil is pursuing the sin unto death. Number 6, Proverbs 14:22. "Will they not go astray who devise evil?" And then it says in Proverbs 14:22, "But grace and truth," God's message, "shall be to them that devise good," God's good, intrinsic good, agathos. Verse 22, "Those who plot evil shall wander away and be lost, but those who plan good shall be granted mercy and quietness." Peace of soul. Number 7, I'm hastening, Proverbs 15:3. "The eyes of the Lord are in every place." That means omnipresence. His eyes are in every place, beholding, omniscience, the evil and the good. Number 8, Proverbs 16:6, "By grace and truth, iniquity is purged." In other words, a person recovers from being out of harmony. And by occupation with Jesus Christ, men depart from evil. The Living Bible says, "Evil is avoided by reverence for God." Number 9, wise or a simpleton. I would hesitate to call anyone stupid. That's just not a good word. And you young people, you don't want to go around ever calling anyone. But look at this. Wise or simpleton? And now I can hear you with a new word. Oh, you simpleton. Instead of saying, oh, you stupid. You see what I'm saying? No. Wise or simpleton? Which? A wise, grace-abounding believer sees the evil and he hides himself. In other words, he understands what evil is, foresees and prepares to avoid it. But the simpleton, and then here we have it, ignorant. You don't call them ignorant, but the word also is stupid. The emphasis here is the person who chooses to go that way is trying to disobey on a continuous basis God's plan, and so he is a person who is not properly related. He is unknowing, and I'm going to go and use the word stupid. He goes on into evil. He goes on into evil, and is punished by it. That's what we find. Let me go back and show you. We find it in Proverbs 16:6. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. Number 10. This is the last one. When you go to 2 Thessalonians 3, 2 and 3, it says, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked evil mankind, men, women, children. Look at it again. We're closing with this. 2 Thessalonians 3, 2 and 3, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked evil men, for all men have not the word of God. Verse 3, but the Lord is faithful, who shall confirm you and guard you and keep you from evil. Are you able to see that the only protection you and I have is the thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's the reason why we have Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. May we bow for a moment of prayer, please. In these last few seconds of this service, let me tell you how great God's thinking is and how sad it is to choose satanic thinking. Evil. Don't go that way. To those who hear this message who have never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, I'm happy I can tell you that God loves you and Christ died for you. He came to this earth as the God-man, willing to go to the cross to die for your sins. Not only did he die for you, but he was resurrected. He sits at the Father's right hand now to hear your prayer and save your soul if you'll trust him. Jesus said, I'm the way. He didn't say, I'm one of the ways. He said, I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. And you can trust him now and be saved. The scripture is plain when it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You shall be saved. The Bible says, whosoever, that means you, put your name there. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, thank you for your wonderful plan of salvation. Thank you for the wonderful plan you have for us to live a victorious and triumphant life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.